In 1873, Golden, Colorado was the home to miners searching for gold. And when the miners sat down for a well-deserved banquet, Mr. Coors brought a beer worthy of the occasion. That beer came to be known as Coors, the banquet beer. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility. Hey there, Tailgate Nation. Thank you so much for downloading this week's show. And a big thanks to our sponsors who help keep this show free for you to listen to every single week.
From coast to coast and border to border, it's Tailgate Radio.
Tailgate Nation, the Grill Sergeant John Largen, thank you so much for downloading episode number 93 of Tailgate Radio, blasting this show to all 50 states, all provinces in Canada, and over 50 countries across this big blue marble we call Earth. We got a great show for you this week. As this show is dropping, I'm actually in Chicago, Illinois, at the Podcast Movement event. Every year, podcasters from across the globe all convene at the Podcast Movement. It's a great event that takes place every year. The folks that put that on do an amazing job. And it's a place where we can go and meet with other podcasters so that we can get better at what we do, meet other people that are doing the same thing that we're doing, and that by that I mean podcasting, and creating opportunities to meet other people that we can have as future guests on our show or people that we can work together with. I know last year when I was there, I met several people from ESPN Digital, Turner Sports Digital, WNYC Digital. So there are a number of people. I know CBS was there last year. And so it really creates an opportunity for us to gather with those that are doing this for a living, for a hobby. It really is an amazing event. So as this show is airing, I'm actually on Lake Michigan at the Podcast Movement event. You can find out more about that event at Podcast Movement. Not that you're that interested, but if you are, that's where I am. If you find yourself in Chicago, give me a shout, because I will be following our Twitter at Tailgate Radio, as I always do. And as you know, this show is always available at iTunes, Stitcher, the TuneIn app for your smartphone, Podomatic, Audio Boom, YouTube, Roku TV, Apple TV, and a number of other places. And you can always find out more about us and the folks here at Tailgate Radio by going to our website at tailgateradio.com. Did I get all that in? I can tell you one of the things I'm most excited about this week is the opportunity to spend some time with some leaders in the sports and entertainment podcasting genre. Yeah, I use the word genre. And but it also gives me time to reflect on what I can do better to make the show better for our fans. I know that one of the things that we hear quite a bit is that we'd like to have more sports personalities on the show. And I've had a number of sports personalities on the show. Jake the Snake Plumber, for example. Icky Woods. Jim Ross. We've had a number of other sports personalities scheduled to be on the show. And that's the challenge that we have. And I think it's a challenge a lot of people have that don't have the robust staff where you've got a producer. I am my own producer of this show. And so sometimes tracking down those guests and keeping them on a schedule that allows us to enter, that's the most frustrating thing. Now, we've had great guests on, like Frank Caliendo. And we hope to have Frank back for our 100th show extravaganza, which is coming up in just 7 weeks. But for some folks, keeping a schedule, and you know, with pro athletes, and this is not necessarily a slam, it's just the reality of the situation. I talked to several people in terrestrial radio, and even folks that host major shows on major networks that are constantly juggling their schedule because the pro athletes don't always keep their schedule. Now that's a broad brush, and I'm you know, that's not a slack on all sports people in general, but it is tougher to book sports guests. Now, it's great. We also book a lot of chefs on the show and a lot of people that are in the culinary arts, and those folks are wonderful guests because they're timely, because they know all about what it takes to be on time. Their entire business is predicated on timeliness. You keep something on the grill too long, it's dead, it's burnt, it's gone. So I think there is something to that. But we're going to work to find a happy medium where we can bring you more sports guests, sports personalities, football players, coaches. But we'll still talk about tailgating. But we'll be doing it from a perspective of the people that you guys want to hear from. So we hope to be doing more of that. Coming up on this week's show, we're going to have a compilation of some of our best guests in the world of the culinary arts, authors, gadgets, and we're going to have a best of show this week. So while I am working in Chicago, you're going to be hearing some past guests that we've hand chosen by the staff here at Game Day Media. And we hope you enjoy this show. Because it is we have really worked to define what this show is, and we really can't do it. Because we do talk sports one week, we talk food the next week, we talk inventions and gadgets the next, we talk to super fans one week and authors. So we have a very broad cornucopia of guests. You know, on last week's show, we had the sports brat, Jess Saraceno. Where does she fit in? She's an awesome sports personality. Former ESPN broadcaster. Former University of Colorado soccer star. So we do bring you a vast array of guests on this show, and we want to continue to do that. So while I am in Chicago, enjoy this week's show of a compilation of some of the best. Some of these you may have be familiar with, and some, especially those that are new to Tailgate Radio, all of it's new to you. So we've pulled the best in authors, inventors, and other guests on this show, and we hope you enjoy this week's very special episode of Tailgate Radio. And we'll be back with more Tailgate Radio right after this. But first,
there's a town in Colorado called Golden. Founded in the gold rush, it was home to miners who spent 12 hours a day in the frozen ground digging for gold. But that land was rich in another resource, the Rocky Mountain water that runs cold and clear. One man knew the value of that water. That man was Mr. Coors. In 1873, he settled in Golden to brew the finest beer the town had ever tasted. The miners were grateful because when they sat down for a well-deserved banquet, Mr. Coors brought a beer worthy of the occasion. That beer came to be known as the Banquet Beer. Coors, the Banquet Beer. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility.
This is ring announcer Jeff Houston, and you're listening to Tailgate Radio.
All right, Tailgate Nation, as I promised, we're going to bring you some of the highlights from people that we have really brought on the show that have written great books, have created new technology and apps and things, anything that contributes to enhancing your tailgate from a literary perspective or travel perspective or application. I think that you'll find this very informative, very educational, very insightful, and hope you enjoy this week's Best Of show. We had a lot of fun with these guests, and we look forward to having some of them back on again as soon as their schedules will allow. So without any more fanfare, enjoy this week's Best Of Tailgate Radio.
A new book called The Ultimate Beer Lover's Happy Hour. Man, it doesn't get any better than that. Welcome into Tailgate Radio, John Schlimm.
Hey, Hey, from one John to another, I am so excited to be with you and all of my tailgating buddies.
Writing a book on beer is a tall order in and of itself, but writing the ultimate beer lover's happy hour probably takes some insight and expertise not everybody has. Where does your expertise in the beer world come from?
Well, you know, there are worse gigs I guess I could have gotten. You know, this has been so great to do. I come from an old beer family, is where that all comes from. You know, I like to say beer literally flows in my veins. My great-great-grandfather was Peter Straub, and he founded our Straub Brewery here in Pennsylvania back in the 1870s. So today we're the third oldest family-owned and operated pre-Prohibition brewery. And it's certainly a legacy that I take to heart, and it's been great to, you know, learn about that legacy over the years and to now be able to translate it into something that all my pals across the country can enjoy.
You've got over 400 recipes in your book that all use beer. Now, the question I have to ask you is, did you get all those recipes through personal experimentation?
Well, you know, I have been collecting beer recipes for a really long time. And in fact, I think the cookbook you're actually referring to with the 400 recipes was my first big national cookbook, The Ultimate Beer Lovers Cookbook. This is a follow-up to that happy hour, and I've come back with 325 more recipes. So lots of recipes are out there, you know, in these books for people to enjoy. You know, a lot of them I've paid close attention to the great beer foods over the years, and especially for the Ultimate Beer Lovers Happy Hour, I looked at what are all of our favorite bar snacks out there, and how can I take those traditional snacks and really fire them up, and then add some great beer pairings with them. So, you know, my love of beer and food made with beer and food consumed, you know, with a beer chaser goes way back. And it's been such a joy to be able to do these and a lot of fun. And I never have to look very far for willing volunteers to help me test the recipes.
The folks that tend to really gravitate to that just naturally have that passion and that level of comfort in and around food and food preparation. Is that where your inspiration comes from as well?
Well, I think it's a little bit of that and, you know, a lot about I just love to eat and to drink beer. And I think, you know, in that way, I'm kind of self-taught. You know, I don't have a culinary degree. I'm not a chef, but I love to eat. And I, of course, have spent a lot of time eating a lot of different kinds of foods, drinking a lot of different kind of beers. You know, as I've done book tours back and forth across the country, I've had the pleasure of drinking a lot of different beers and sort of figuring out what works with what. Of course, I tend to think it all boils down to, you know, my rule of thumb is drink what you like. But, you know, when you're talking about pairings, and certainly when we toss it into the realm of tailgating, it can be a lot of fun to experiment with all the great beers that are popping up everywhere. It's just, you know, we're in the midst of the craft revolution, so this is our time as beer lovers.
That was a great segue, because I was going to ask you about that. It really does seem like there is a renaissance in the world of beer making, craft beers, and even like we're based down here in Texas, even some of the laws that have been restrictive in sharing those craft beers have even changed over the last couple of years. So it really does seem like this is the new golden age in the world of beer.
Absolutely, which, you know, is really only appropriate since beer is one of the oldest beverages around. You know, some even think that it predates wine. You know, there's even debate out there, people who think that, you know, Jesus maybe didn't actually turn water into wine, that he turned it into beer. You know, there are actually scholars who are debating this. So beer has been around since the beginning of time. It popped up and almost simultaneously across the four corners. So it's only right that thousands of years later, it's going strong and really coming into its own as a culinary icon, and it certainly deserves that for all the happiness that it brings to each of us.
Now, do you get an opportunity? I mean, the Keystone State is a fantastic state for tailgating, and there are just great venues and great sports teams. Do you get the opportunity to partake in that? I know this time is probably the best time of year, the fall. There's a little crispness in the air, and you can smell those scents wafting over the parking lot. Do you get a chance to do that as busy as you are with your tours and everything?
Yeah, you know, I try to do it as often as possible, and whether it's a sporting event or a concert, you know, we get a lot of the great musicians through Pennsylvania as well. And so for me, any excuse to get into a parking lot and tailgate, I am there. And it's just, or, you know, someone's living room at halftime. Even halftime, you know, can be happy time as long as you have plenty of beer, no matter where you are. So, of course, I think it's such a great American tradition. And really, Ultimate Beer Lovers Happy Hour is in that spirit of tailgating, and in the spirit of, you know, all your listeners out there know this, just wanting to have fun. Beer equals fun, tailgating equals fun, and being at these great venues, it's just all of that fun, and maybe leaving reality, you know, checking reality at the door for a couple hours, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm here with John Schlimm. He's the author of the Ultimate Beer Lovers Happy Hour. You know, you talked about your history of your family. How engaged were you, or how engaged are you in the process of how your family's beer or any beer is actually brewed in the process that goes into it? Because as a novice, for me, you know, I really had to do some homework on the difference between just a traditional lager and an IPA and all those things. So, you know, for the layperson, what are some important things to kind of take away from what's going on in the world of beer right now?
Well, you know, for us at the Straw Brewery, we're really fortunate in that we have an incredible brewmaster. His name is Vince Acetta, and he really is a genius when it comes to creating the craft beers that we're starting to produce. You know, I think all my cousins are more than happy to keep me away from, you know, the kettle and the production line. I think it would probably turn into that scene from I Love Lucy when Lucy and Ethel go to the chocolate factory and it all goes crazy. You know, so I let the brewmaster do what he does best in making the beer, and I do what I think I probably do best, and that's consuming the beer. But what's incredible is to watch someone like him and the process he goes through in figuring out what ingredients go together and all the different kinds of hops that are out there and how to use those with the malts and whatever other flavors. That's been a fascinating process to watch. And I think that we, on the flip side of that, are all the beneficiaries of that. Because when we're sitting in the parking lot and we're tailgating, we can now pull down that tailgate and we can have you know, a dozen or two different beers lined up, those little cups that we can sample right down the row. And it's really in thanks to not only the geniuses, I think he tends to be a genius, as I think these other brewmasters across the country are, but also the home brewers. You know, the home brewing revolution is so huge now, and I love that. We just had a home brewing festival here in town, which benefited the United Way a couple months ago, and it was so great to go up and try all these beers and seeing what people are producing in their homes, and it's really incredible. So it's bringing out sort of the inner culinary brew artist in everybody, and again, we get to be the beneficiary of that. You know, I now sit on the board of directors of my family's brewery, and so it's really cool to see the business from that perspective, especially being a smaller brewery, and just seeing how engaged everyone is in the process. You know, we don't use lots of beer. It's a lot of hands-on stuff, and so that's still cool to know that there are places like that still going on, and certainly the home brewers who I love across the country, they're keeping that tradition alive as well.
Yeah, and would you agree that the resurgence or just the growth of the overall craft and home brewing market has been good for the industry in general?
Absolutely. I think any time you get people engaged in the process, it's a good thing. And certainly when it comes to beer, because what I think the home brewers are doing, they're really getting the established breweries to step up their game and put out the best products possible. But at the same time, you know, the companies that are putting out quality products are really then in return inspiring the home brewers to push the limits of their craft even further. So it goes both ways. And again, don't you love it? We get to be the beneficiary of that on the end when we can crack open a cold one and sit there and enjoy it.
Absolutely. But before we go, I'm going to put you on the spot here. We've got a weekend of tailgating upcoming. And if there was a one go-to recipe with your favorite, and I don't want to say your favorite beer, but a combination that works good for you, that the folks, I mean, this is Wednesday. This is typically supply day. They're going out to the grocery stores and the spirit stores and grabbing their supplies to get ready for this weekend's tailgate party. What's a good takeaway recipe that you would recommend to folks out there in the tailgate nation?
Well, I'm going to give you two because I think burgers and tailgating and beer all go together like nobody's business. And in the beer and burgers bar section of the Ultimate Beer Lovers Happy Hour, there is a recipe for sweet onion sliders where a big, you know, thick slice of a sweet onion actually becomes the burger patty that is seasoned with some really great herbs and other spices and just tossed on a little grill, or, you know, you can obviously make that in the oven. And that paired with a brown ale or a really great Dunkelweizen is fantastic. But the other burger, I happen to love cauliflower, and I think that it's often underrated. I have a recipe for a grilled cauliflower burger where, again, a thick marinated slice of cauliflower becomes the burger patty, and that is paired with an Oktoberfest or a barley wine or even an American wheat ale. And I think those two will be really, you know, a new favorite out there in parking lots across the country or living rooms during high pastime.
Where can we follow you, learn more about you, and where can we pick up the book, The Ultimate Beer Lover's Happy Hour?
You can go to my website, which is johnschlim.com, and learn more about me there, and also connect with me on social media. I know you do as well at Tailgate Radio. We love connecting with people, our fellow neighbors across the country. And the Ultimate Beer Lovers Happy Hour is sold wherever books are available. So you can hop on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or you know, your local independent bookstore.
The founder of Stadium Journey. And it's just what it sounds like. They travel all over the country, maybe the world. We'll talk to him about it. And gives you reviews on all the great stadiums across the country. Welcome into Tailgate Radio this week, Mr. Paul Swaney.
Thanks, John. Thanks so much for having me on.
So, Paul, tell me about Stadium Journey. How did that get started? It sounds like a sports lover's dream.
Yeah, you know, I'm definitely a sports fan. It's born out of a love of sports and a love of travel. I found something about becoming a father about 7 years ago made me, and I think this is probably true of a lot of people when they become parents, you sort of look at, you've got a new understanding of life and sort of the fact that you are getting older and, you know, someday you are going to be, and this sounds sad, but someday we'll all be dead in the ground. And I really began to think about, you know, what am I doing with my life as far as work? Am I doing something that I really love? And if I could do anything, what would I do? And the answer to that question was, you know, more than anything else, I love to travel the country and see different stadiums. I think it's a great way to get to know our country. And so once I sort of arrived at that decision, I felt an obligation to begin to do something about that.
So how do you go from that conception, because I know a lot of people, I mean, I think I saw a recent survey that said 3 out of 4 people don't enjoy what they do for a living. So how do you go from that idea of I wish I could do this to actually taking action and making that dream happen?
Well, and, you know, I was in a situation, I certainly wasn't unhappy per se with what I was doing. I worked for a large nonprofit organization in Chicago, and I found some intrinsic value in that work and helping others. But I didn't feel that joy of, you know, getting up in the morning and really being excited about going to work. And I found myself, I was in a conference in Houston at a hotel not too far from Minute Maid Park. This was in May. And I found myself sneaking away from the conference to go to Astros games. And I began to sort of put together a rating scale for going to stadiums and what really makes a great stadium experience. So that was really the first step for me.
Yeah. So what are some of the criteria that you look for when you go and check out a new stadium or go back and visit an old favorite?
Well, we look at the food and beverage that's served in a stadium, the overall atmosphere, and that's sort of the difficult one to measure because there's a lot of sort of feeling and emotion involved with that one. We look at the neighborhood where the stadium is based. Is it out in the suburbs? Is it downtown? We rate the fans and how sort of into the game that they are. The access, which would include things like parking and traffic, but also the ability to move around inside the stadium. We look at the overall return on investment. Is it worth the price that you pay? And then we've got one last sort of catch-all category for any extras that don't fit neatly into one of those six categories.
You founded Stadium Journey back in 2011, correct?
I've been doing it full-time since 2011. We founded the website in 2009.
So you've been all in since 2011. So over the course of the last 4 years, how many stadiums would you say you and your team have reviewed?
Yeah, I think part of the beauty of this concept is really there's a limitless number, almost limitless number of stadiums that we could look at. We started off just looking at the four major sports, the 122 stadiums or teams in the NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, and NBA. But, you know, we quickly expanded into college sports, basketball, and football first. And then we started to have sort of an organic growth where people would contact me and say, for example, I notice you don't have the Ontario Hockey League on your site. And I go to a lot of games, and they're really great, and I would love to write for you some of those experiences. And so a lot of our growth has come really just naturally from people reaching out to us and wanting to join, or even if they didn't want to join, they really wanted to see this content on our site. So we, you know, we got into NASCAR, we got into other college sports, we got into minor league sports, and at this point we've reviewed, I think the count now, it's over 2,000 stadiums, I think 2,040 in 43 different countries that we've reviewed.
Wow, so you guys have an international reach. That's amazing.
Yeah, we've got, I believe we have writers in 18 different countries and every continent except for Antarctica.
Now, how often do you get to go out and participate yourself? I know you've got a great team of writers, but as far as you getting out and experiencing and using your own judging system that you created, what does an annual tour for Paul Swaney look like?
I would estimate that I probably do 50 visits a year for the sole purpose of reviewing games. I might go to other games with my son just for fun, but you know, I really look at this as serious work when I go to a game to review it. I probably do about one a week.
When you go to a stadium, is there any geographic segmentation involved, or is it, hey, I'm going to go and check out Lambeau Field and, you know, that's your focus, or is it while I'm in the area, I'm also going to go to Soldier and I'm going to do some other things? How is that broken out when you do go and visit the different stadiums?
Well, it's certainly a combination. Most of my writers hold the job title, I guess, of regional correspondent. So I might have someone in, let's say, Milwaukee, who would also be responsible for Green Bay and Lambeau Field. So pretty much every city that has a pro sports team, I would like to have a writer there. And they might, you know, depending on their situation, they might cover just that city specifically, or they might cover, let's say, 200 miles around that city. Or other writers might cover a state or two. For me, I'm based in Ann Arbor, Michigan, so I'll cover the state of Michigan, and I'll pick up ones in Ohio and Indiana, Illinois. And, you know, also I'll get out on the road every once in a while and try to catch maybe four, five, six games in one trip someplace. I probably do fewer of those now than I did when we first got started, but, you know, the truth is, the reason I got into this is I really enjoy taking those trips, and so I try to do as much of that travel as I can.
With all this information that's aggregated with you and your riders, can you tell us some about the website and how all that information can be accessed by Joe Sixpack like me that is interested in maybe going to a New Orleans Saints game, and I want to know something about the Superdome. So how does that work, and what all can they find on your website?
So the website, first of all, is stadiumjourneys.com. And even though we write these as reviews, I'm a lot less concerned about sort of doing the critiquing of stadiums. You know, in a nutshell, what we're trying to provide is information for people so that they can make the very best out of any experience that they have with a sporting event. You know, sports can be, especially the big four sports. And so as much as we can, we want to make recommendations on things like where to sit in the stadium or where not to sit, what to eat. You know, is there a special food in the stadium that you should have? Where should you park? Is there a restaurant nearby you should be sure to try? Is there, you know, sort of a tourist attraction that you may not think of that you should try to hit while you're there? So as much as possible, we try to be sort of recommendation-based and share our experiences with people who are going to games so that they can make the most out of their experience.
So it's an actual just total immersion into that experience. So I would think that if you're giving those type of specific recommendations, that when you go into a stadium, you've got your walking shoes on, and you're looking at the field or the stadium from many different angles, from many different venues, and you've got to come with an empty stomach because you've got to try all the different foods that are in the concessions area.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt I've gained some weight doing this job. But luckily, you're right, there is a lot of walking involved, so hopefully those things sort of cancel each other out. But, yeah, we get to a stadium, and, you know, if it's a big stadium, we're trying to sit in the different seating options. Are there bleacher seats and, you know, club seats and, you know, sort of quote-unquote regular seats, upper deck, and sort of get a perspective, you know, does it vary differently, you know, based on where you sit? Are you know, should you sit closer to, if it's a college venue, to the student section or away from the student section? So, yeah, as much as possible, you know, because the fact is we're only going to experience the stadium one or two times before we write our review. So there's certainly going to be season ticket holders that know things that we're not going to notice on those one or two trips, but we're going to do everything we can to get as much information as possible. And sort of related to that, I really want to encourage people to share their expertise, to come on the website. There's a chance for anyone who visits our website to submit their own thoughts or ratings of a stadium and sort of share their knowledge. You know, someone who's had season tickets on the 30-yard line at the Superdome for 20 years, there's a wealth of information there that I would love to have them come and share that.
I'm here with Paul Swaney. He is the founder of Stadium Journey, stadiumjourney.com, and Stadium Journey magazine. We haven't even talked about the magazine, and I'm kind of old school. I love the feel of paper, that gloss. I like to flip pages. Tell us about the magazine and how we can subscribe to the magazine. I would love everybody out in the Tailgate Nation to find out how they can subscribe to Stadium Journey.
So the magazine, if you go to the website, that's probably the easiest way to subscribe to the magazine. And at the top right of all of our pages, there's a picture of some of our magazines. You can just click on there and choose a 6 or 12 month subscription. You know, we've got the option. You can do a digital magazine that gets emailed to you every month, or you can get the printed version in the mail to you. We tend to, with the magazine, we take sort of more of a narrative approach. We don't do reviews in the magazine. We talk about some of the very best stadium experiences in a given sport. So one month we might pick baseball. Another month we might talk about hockey, college football. You know, we sort of take a theme each month and then present 3, 4, 5, 6 really good experiences within that theme.
And one of the other things that that we haven't talked about is your cookbook. Now, I would dare say, with the listeners on the show here at Tailgate Radio. We're always looking for great recipes, great ideas, things that are synonymous with the teams that we follow. Tell us about the cookbook, because I think that's fascinating that not only are you reviewing the best of stadiums, but you've also got some great ideas and recipes for the teams out there that folks support.
Yeah, I love our cookbook, and I obviously I'm biased, but I find myself pulling this out most Sundays in the fall. What we did is we took every team in the NFL and we created an appetizer, a main dish, and a cocktail that's sort of based on each team in the NFL or the region where they are. So, like with Baltimore, we've got a recipe for crab cakes, for example. For the Washington Redskins, we've got a sandwich that's sort of a tribute to the offensive line of the 80s and early 90s when the Redskins were winning Super Bowls that we call the Hog Sandwich, dedicated to Jeff Bostic, Russ Grimm, and Joe Jacoby.
Have you had a chance to sample all of the different recipes in the book?
So let's see, there's 96 recipes. I've not had every single one. We used, kind of like we do with reviews, we used writers from all over the country. You know, I've made enough contacts doing this kind of travel that I've come across some really great chefs, a couple of people that are executive chefs with different teams, a guy in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, who runs a gelato shop, a guy in University Park, Pennsylvania, where Penn State is, runs a deli there. So we found a whole bunch of different contributors who submitted their ideas for these recipes. And it was a lot of fun to put this together, and it was a lot of fun to sample these as well. But I'm still making my way through the 96.
Well, you know, we've got just a few weeks before the Christmas holidays. That sounds like that would be an awesome Christmas gift. How can folks pick the book up before the 25th of December?
Well, it's available on Amazon or Horizon Books or Barnes & Noble. Our publisher is Mascot Books, so you can also get it directly from our publisher on their website, mascotbooks.com. I really like to use this. The recipes are meant to be used either for tailgating or at home. I really like to use it if there's a big matchup on a given Sunday where I'll sort of prepare dishes based on both of those two teams. So I think it's a really good Super Bowl party cookbook or any sort of big game where you're having people over to watch the game. It's a lot of fun to sort of cook based on who's on TV.
Of the recipes that you have sampled, which one is your favorite?
Well, I go back a lot to the kielbasa stew, which is one of the Detroit Lion recipes. That's the one I probably made the most. It's sort of a spicy. You know, Detroit has a lot of different ethnic communities, so for our Detroit recipes, we sort of did a tribute to the Polish community and to the Greek community in Detroit. So we also have a squid salad, and that kielbasa stew is something that I go to a lot. That one's really good. On a cold day, if you're tailgating on the parking lot, to have a little cup of something hot and spicy.
2014, I won't go back since your inception back in 2009, but I want to put you on the spot a little bit for 2014. What's the best food, stadium food, that you have sampled this year?
There's something about a cup of clam chowder at Fenway Park that just makes me happy, especially early in the season. So I was there in April and had a cup of clam chowder and a Sam Adams beer and it was sort of a cool day, but still nice. And to me, that's a perfect sort of moment when you're eating something that's local and you get the weather that cooperates. That's a perfect day for me. So I don't know for sure if that's my absolute favorite, but that's the first one that pops into my mind.
Okay, that's fair enough. What about the most unique stadium accessory? Has there been something that you've come across this year that you've said, wow, that is really interesting and pretty cool?
Again, this is sort of just stream of consciousness, and this might sound dumb, but one thing that I've noticed in a couple of stadiums is drink holders near the urinal. And I think this makes a lot of sense. You're always seeing people, they go and get their beer or their pop, and then they go into the bathroom. and they try to sort of balance their drink, or they'll put it on top of the urinal, and it just seems really gross to me. The idea of having cup holders in the bathroom is a I hope it's a trend that we're going to keep seeing, because I think it's a really useful, it's a small thing, but a nice thing.
Yeah, and you know, there are tons of tailgating products that do that too now. Everything from magnets, where you've got a cup holder that will attach to the side of a truck, to a plate that has a place to stick your drink, so you've got one hand free at all time. That is a truly unique, and it's a problem and a challenge that has existed for a long time, and that's really neat that some stadiums have acknowledged that and have addressed it.
Well, in general, cup holders are a really important aspect of a stadium, and a stadium that is going to have good fans, because you know what you can't do when you're holding a pop or a beer is you can't clap. You can't, you know, cheer and be rowdy. If you have a spot where you can put your drink and you know you're not going to kick it over, you can be a better fan, and therefore the whole stadium experience can be better. So it seems like sort of a trite thing, but having cup holders at the seats is a really important aspect of a good stadium.
And finally, I want to find out from you this year, for you personally, what has been your best stadium visit?
For this year, I'm first and foremost a college basketball fan. I know that most of your listeners are more football, but I had the opportunity early in the season to go down and see a Duke basketball game at Cameron Indoor Stadium, which was sort of a lifelong goal of mine. So I would have to say that one. And it wasn't even a big game. I can't imagine what that place is like when it's, you know, an actual conference game or Carolina's in town. So that was one that I'd really been looking forward to, and I was glad that I was able to see.
Well, that's fantastic. That you know, that whole basketball environment in North Carolina is unbelievable. And aren't those two schools like 12 miles apart or something like that? North Carolina and Duke?
Yeah, I think less than that. I think it's 6 miles between Chapel Hill and Durham. And there's a lot of good college, basketball that's be. You know, the other thing I want to say that I learn again and again, I learn that, and then I forget it, and then I learn it again, is there's always a great experience that you never expect to be great. You know, I go to games sometimes just because we haven't reviewed the place yet and someone needs to go, and you just never know. You hit a small town, you know, a college campus, and sometimes you have a really amazing experience. College soccer is something that I'm starting to get into more, that, you know, we never see it on TV, but you go to a game live, and you can have some really special experiences at these little, you know, 4,000-seat stadiums where the students and the fans are just crazy about their team, and you've never even thought, you know, it's never been on your radar as a place to go, and that's true all over the country. There's examples like that.
Well, Paul, I first of all want to thank you so much for coming into Tailgate Radio this week. How can folks check out all the great things you're doing over at stadiumjourney.com?
Well, certainly through the website is a great portal. We're on social media at Stadium Journey. You can find us on Facebook/Stadium Journey. You know, and the other thing I would say is if there's a stadium junkie out there in your listening audience who is interested in writing for us, we're almost always looking for more people who are passionate about going to games and sharing their experiences. So I'll go ahead and put my email address out there. It's paul@stadiumjourney.com.
You know, one of my favorite things to do is to hear from people that get to travel the country and experience the great sporting events that take place across this great land. And one of the best at doing that, he's got his own blog. It's called Wandering Spectator, and he is the Wandering Spectator. His name is Bill Saturday, and we've got him right here on Tailgate Radio. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on.
First of all, the Wandering Spectator. I love the name. Where did that come from?
You know, it's just as you introduced yourself. I mean, that's what I do, right? I kind of wander around the country, and I always said I excel at spectator sports. So love going around, and I travel a lot for business, and fortunate enough to have some time to usually go out and hit a ballpark or an arena and catch a game, whether that's professional or minor, or even concerts and some unusual events that I've been able to partake in as well along the way. So it was just kind of natural for Wandering Spectator to kind of come about.
Was this just a natural outgrowing of the fact that you're in an unfamiliar area, and while you're there, you may as well take in the sights, sounds, and being a sports fan, the activities that go on in that area?
Exactly, right. So it's, you're absolutely right. I've been a kind of a sales guy on the road for, several years, in the evenings, right, if you don't have a customer dinner, and sometimes if you do, you make that dinner out at a ballpark or an arena or something. So just kind of fill the time. And, when I go out, it's not only, it's not just about kind of seeing the event and, partaking in the actual game, but it's also taking in the, what I say, the sights and the sounds and the smells, right, and kind of enjoying the local beverages and kind of the local food as well. So it's, it was a kind of combination of all of that. And I said, hey, along the way, I've had quite a few interesting experiences, to say the least. So what I started doing was really just starting to kind of write up and document those and put them into a blog and kind of keep a running journal of my travels throughout the U.S.
That's one of the things that I really enjoy when we go to different cities and do tailgating events is, so many times the rest of society looks the same. All the restaurants look the same. All the stores look the same. But when you go out and you spend time with the traditions, with those different sports teams and the foods and the drinks, and like you said, the sights, sounds, and smells, it really does still accentuate how unique each location that you go to really can be.
Yeah, and it's exciting. I mean, the different traditions at each ballpark, like I said, the different food is always interesting, from, boiled peanuts in Atlanta, to having fish tacos in San Diego, right? It's, at the ballparks, it's always something different and unique. And, now with kind of the way craft breweries are really kind of coming on the scene, a lot of the ballparks have kind of gone away from the big, beverage houses and kind of gone to craft brews. So now you kind of get a taste of the local beers as well. So it's just something that I've always enjoyed and, always kind of, I always talked about it. And like I said, then usually along the way, I kind of make it a point to, talk to some of the locals and see what they enjoy about the games, and maybe even check in, even after the game, hit some of the local restaurants or bars or something like that to really kind of take in each city that I visit.
When did this switch go on for you that this was something that you think other people would be interested in, and you started documenting it through your blog?
Well, it's a great question. I think, a collection of stories happened over the time, but, the light bulb for me came on when we did a road trip with me and a couple of my friends. We ended up flying into Chicago one evening from Phoenix. Had a buddy that lived in Chicago pick us up, and we headed right out. We went to the to the Bulls Suns game, which was just so happened to be that they were in town. And we did that Friday night, but the kind of the main attraction was Iowa Penn State over in Iowa City. So after the Bulls Suns game, we kind of headed over and went to the Iowa Penn State game and had an incredible time in Iowa City. Great, one of the best college venues that I've ever been to. And then we kind of, afterwards we ended up in a local establishment and just had a great time with the locals and who were celebrating their big Iowa victory. And then after that, we ended up heading back to Chicago Sunday to watch the Bears and the Titans play. So it really capped off quite a weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then flying home after that, it was like, wow, what a great trip. And how fortunate we were to be able to dial in each one of those key events within a radius that was kind of drivable and attainable with tickets that we were able to access and, just having the time to be able to do all that. So after that, that's what really kind of kicked it in, that said, I'm not the only fan that's out there, and I'm sure others would enjoy those types of weekends. And so I started kind of coming up with the concept around Wandering Spectator at that point. And you'll see some interesting things now. I've actually kind of branched out and doing some things around, travelers to line up those, you know, wandering spectator weekends, right? Hey, I'm a, you know, I happen to be a pretty big Penn State fan and a Buffalo Bills fan. And so I kind of look for weekends that when can I hit a Saturday Penn State game along with a Sunday Buffalo Bills game. And, you know, that it's always hard to do that. Line up calendars and check calendars when the schedules come out. The NFL schedule comes out in April. You're always kind of lining up the schedule to see, you know, where your favorite team is playing and maybe what else is happening that weekend. So I'm kind of automating that for the traveling fans. So you'll see some things come out on that as time goes by here. But that's part of the impetus, if you will, for you know, creating the Wandering Spectator blog and some of the features of it.
What are some of the more unique experiences you had? You mentioned that earlier, and I'm always fascinated to hear about someone's individual experience at some of these places that you may not be familiar with, and whether it has to do with the traditions or cultures or just trying a new food or drink.
Well, I'll tell you, it just so happens, and again, I'm probably biased here, but as a Bills fan, I've had two of my probably best and most unique experiences at Rich Stadium. The first was the 1994 AFC Championship game where the Bills played the Chiefs, and my wife and I actually went to that game, and we ended up having picking up Chuck Mangione. If you know, Chuck is a kind of a jazz musician, actually hitchhiked into the game. He was telling me he was on his way to play the national anthem for the opening of the game. I won't give it all away. You can hit the site wanderingspectator.com and look for the Chuck Mangione game. It'll kind of walk you through the gory details of the event, but that was one. And you know, another one that I just had recently was, you know, again, back to Buffalo. It's a rare, you know, that team has struggled over the past decade or so, so it's rare for them to get a kind of a prime time home game. They just so happened to have a Thursday night game in November. It was over the Veterans Day weekend, so they did a card stunt, but it was just an amazing atmosphere for the Buffalo fans to be able to host a Thursday night game, national television, and a game in which the Bills ended up winning. And I'll tell you, I paid for a seat, but I never used it. You know, we were on our feet the entire night. So just a great experience all around. Who can forget the Masters, right? I mean, that's just another one that I've been fortunate enough to attend the Masters. And, you know, it's hard to write up what the Masters really means. And, you know, anyone that's a golf fan really just needs to put it on their bucket list and hit those grounds and walk around. It is something special for sure.
What are some tips that you can give to folks that are interested in doing this and taking advantage of it? But, you know, it's like anything else, you have to get started. So what would you recommend for folks that would want to live out some of their, as you called it, bucket list items that would be that would get them motivated and help them enjoy that experience more? Because I know so many times it just takes, you know, sometimes a swift kick in the pants to get moving. So what tips do you have for folks out there that want to do that?
Exactly. And, you know, part of my tagline, you know, I started kicking around was, you know, start wandering and stop wondering, right? So really it's just get out there and do it, right? There's some, you know, life is short. I always said life is made up of little stories. And, you know, when you go out there, these are just little stories that you're going to have along the way. And, you know, you spend some money on it, but the experiences are just incredible. And, you know, to be able to have these experiences and understand it, it's just a lot of fun. So, you know, how does it work? Well, it's easy. You know, don't forget you can be a tourist in your own backyard as well, right? So, you know, going to local events and just, you know, here in Phoenix we happen to have, you know, four of the major sports teams. So you can, you know, pretty much make a doubleheader or a tripleheader weekend, you know, quite frequently. And just do that and to completely be a, you know, be a spectator in your own town, if you will. And then from there, you know, try to figure out, maybe you can get in the car and, you know, make it a trip via car and, you know, tie a couple of games together with, you know, with baseball season coming up. That's a great time to get out and hit some parks and, you know, baseball's pretty reasonable, you know, ticket price as well. So, you know, that's always a good thing. So again, there's a lot of ways to do it, different budgets and so forth. It'd be awesome to, you know, to fly around and hit every major college bowl game or the, you know, college playoff game. And, you know, that's awful expensive, but it doesn't have to be that way. You can even make it into some minor league parks. They offer some of the, I haven't written about my stories at minor league parks, but I've got some fantastic experiences over the years of, going to Lancaster, California, watching the games out there, or in Reading, Pennsylvania, watching AAA baseball. So those are just great experiences over the years.
The folks listening here on Tailgate Radio that want to learn more and read more about your adventures, how can they find you on the web or any social media that you have out there?
Yeah, so it's Wandering Spectator is the website. So you just go to wanderingspectator.com. It'll take you out to my blog site. I've got Twitter handle as well. I think it's Wandering Spec at Twitter, and you can find me out there. That's the primary. My primary social media, if you will, is Twitter. But the blog is posted out at wanderingspectator.com. Thanks again for having me on, John, and keep wandering.
You're going to want to be a part of it. This gentleman is the founder and head coach at Crowdgate. His name is Paul Gonzalez. Paul, welcome in to Tailgate Radio.
John, thanks so much for having us on the show. It's been a crazy few months here for Crowdgate trying to get the product launched. I can hardly believe that I'm sitting here chatting with you today. So really appreciate the time today. Thanks for having us.
So before we get into the meat and potatoes of Crowdgate, tell me about the process and how you actually came up with the concept of this is something that is needed in the world of sports and how can we perfect it?
Yeah, so I mean, it kind of all boils down to one specific moment I had about 3 years ago. I didn't really start working on the product until about 6 months ago. I'd worked in finance before. But about 3 years ago, I was living in New York at the time. I'm a Penn State grad, so I'm a huge Nittany Lions fan. And I came out to Chicago to visit a friend. Penn State was playing at Northwestern at the time. So we decided, like any true Penn Staters would, we wanted to go to the tailgate before the game. But when I was visiting, my friend lived in a small apartment. He didn't have a grill or chairs or anything like that. And he didn't even have a car. So, like some foolish 20-year-olds, we decided to, get a case of beer and just take the L up to Evanston and sort of see what happens. Of course, we get off the L, and it's absolutely downpouring. We're kind of just roaming around the parking lot with the case of beer, trying to text people and figure out what to do. Ultimately, we ended up giving up and started, just walking to the game. And as I was walking to the game, I noticed there were still a bunch of people out there tailgating. They had tents and chairs and food, and we're still having a great time. And I started to think to myself, wouldn't it have been great to connect with these people before game day, right? What if I could have connected with them a couple of days before and said, hey, can I, join your tailgate? It's me and my buddy, we're just, a couple of Penn Staters looking to see what tailgating at Northwestern is all about. And have been given that peace of mind of knowing that, my game day and tailgate were taken care of. And also realizing that for that experience, I probably would have paid them something up front. So that's kind of how the idea of Crowdgate started. So it was about 3 years ago, and for the past 6 months or so, we've really been working on trying to build that marketplace to connect fans looking for tailgates with people hosting tailgates.
I'm always fascinated when people can take an idea and then really massage it to the point where it becomes something that's tangible and real. And you come in from a finance background. I would think the learning curve on creating the technology, the IT piece, the GPS piece, all the things that I'm sure go into that was a pretty daunting task.
Yeah, John, it was. I will say, while I was, a few years back, me and some buddies tried to build an app that was related to, restaurants and bars and stuff. And we hired a developer, and it was hard to manage all that stuff. And about about a year ago when I was still working in finance, I kind of got bored of that job and decided to just try to do something I care about, to try to build something from nothing. So I joined a school here in Chicago. It's actually a 9-month program that teaches novices like myself how to build web applications. It teaches you the full sort of technology skills needed, the product development skills needed, as well as some marketing and customer acquisition tools to basically take a product from nothing and launch it. So you kind of just have to dive in head first and say, if this is something you care about, You'll just learn as you go and figure out how to get things done on a day-to-day basis.
I'm here with Paul Gonzalez from CrowdGate. And, Paul, I want to talk to you a little bit about the functionality, because I know as a tailgater, there are so many factors that go into that game day experience.
Yes, I think there's a couple different sort of situations where CrowdGate can apply. So I think first, sort of for the hardcore tailgater that you mentioned, there's a lot of tailgating groups or businesses out there already that are hosting these, you know, turnkey tailgates for fans, and it really creates a great experience for these fans. But one of the challenges is just how do you connect with a larger audience? You know, how do you grow that business? How do fans from away teams hear about you? So really, for that sort of scenario, we were just trying to build a marketplace that made it easy for fans to be able to find all these tailgate offerings in one, you know, nice marketplace, and to be able to compare them and kind of see what's the best situation for them. Now, I'm not on the hardcore tailgating side, maybe more of like the amateur tailgater. What we think is really interesting about what CrowdGate can offer is, you know, take, for example, the family of five that is trying to go to an NFL game. You know, it could cost, you know, up to, you know, $500 plus to go to a game now these days, or whatever it costs. But maybe they have a few hours before game time, right? And maybe they have some grills and some chairs and a tent, and they want to earn some extra cash. Wouldn't it be great if there was an easy way for them, you know, a couple weeks before to post something on our website that says, hey, you know, we're going to be at, you know, the Chicago Bears game, tailgating in this parking lot 5 hours before or 3 hours before, whatever the case is. And if you want to join, it's $20. And, you know, fans from the away team or even fans from Chicago can go to this website and find out what the tailgate offerings are for them to join before game day. So it's kind of the idea of what we have in mind in terms of how we're trying to connect both amateur tailgaters as well as sort of the hardcore tailgating business. As I kind of started down this road of launching this business, I was fascinated in the service, right? I figured, what a great way to enhance the game day experience of basically having someone else take care of everything for me and me just being able to join this tailgate. So I started to do some research to find out what was out there. And the research was really hard. And the reason was that all these different tailgate offerings are kind of hidden within the internet. You have to either know, you know, to search for each individual team on Google, or maybe there was a blog post talking about the best tailgating groups, or maybe they have a Facebook group or a Twitter page. You know, some tailgate groups I even found were using things like crowdfunding platforms or Eventbrite to host their tailgates. So what I'm really trying to do here is unlock a lot of the current existing tailgate offerings to shed some light on those and make them more accessible to fans, as well as make it easier for amateur tailgaters to host their own turnkey tailgates.
One of the things I know that's going to be super important in getting CrowdGate moving in the right direction is both having folks become acclimated to the app itself, as well as signing up as hosts and signing up as users. So walk us through that process.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've had a few tailgating groups and businesses around the country that have been, you know, super helpful and kind of taking a chance on us and just listening to us and testing out the product a little bit. So, you know, on the college side, we work pretty closely with, you know, the Gourmet Gents guys down there in South Carolina.
Hey, I know those guys.
Oh, yeah, they're just the best. they've really helped work through the product. I've had a blast talking to them and testing things out. As well as Tailgate Troubadours down in Texas A&M and the WV Beast Tailgate Bus for WVU. They've been helpful in kind of checking out our props. And on the NFL side, we've been working with the Cars' number one tailgating experience down there in Arizona, as well as Top Shelf Tailgating in New York. So those are all some groups that have been, you know, checking out our product and, you know, been thinking about, you know, listing their tailgates on our site for the upcoming season. So just a big thank you to them for helping us, you know, kind of get the ball rolling and getting some initial feedback about how we can make CrowdGate better.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I appreciate about that too, Paul, is the fact that you went directly into the parking lot. You went to folks that are going to give you that unfiltered and really that experience of on-the-ground tailgaters and pretty seasoned guys. I know the guys in South Carolina, and I'm sure all the other folks that you worked with have various levels and experience in tailgating. So the fact that you went in and talked to those groups is huge as far as getting feedback that's going to only make CrowdGate more useful and entertaining and fun to work with.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when especially when you're thinking about technology products and apps specifically, it's often hard to forget that behind all that is actual or actual people, right? So to me, there's nothing more important than, you know, talking to people and learning and about what they do and hearing their stories and trying to figure out what it is that is a pain about running their tailgates and what can be better. And that's kind of, you know, what informs a lot of the decisions we make in terms of how we built the platform and what sorts of features we included. So, again, just big thanks to them. And, you know, anyone else who, you know, wants to go check out the site and play around on it, you know, feel free to provide us any feedback. We're always trying to make it better.
So what's the call to action to get these folks involved and get these tailgate clubs and get users used to the app and really familiarize themselves with the website?
Yeah, absolutely. So to become a host on our platform, it's a pretty easy sign-up process. If you go to our webpage, which is www.crowdgate.us, there's a link to that says become a host. And you click on that, and you just submit your email address. And we'll contact you within 48 hours or so just to have a quick telephone call. You know, it's important to us that we want to make sure that the hosts on our platform are not just, you know, in it to make a quick buck, but really appreciate what tailgating is all about and understand that, you know, they're there to provide a great game day experience for their guests. So we want to make sure that their ethos and philosophy are kind of in line with what we expect at Crowdgate. And from there, we can help you get set up in terms of listing tailgates. So basically, you pick which game you want to tailgate for. It's pretty easy. There's a couple different types of tailgates you can set up. Either maybe you want to sell a full tailgate package, so you know, maybe it's a couple $100, and that guest can bring as many friends as they want along. Or maybe you want to charge per head. Or maybe you're hosting a tailgate for like a charity or trying to bring awareness to a product that you have or something like that. So you can actually host free tailgates if you want that people join. So those are all options that we offer on our site. And at this time, we've kind of been walking through people and handholding them to get them set up. And we're learning a lot in that process. In terms of users finding us, we've been pretty active on Twitter. Our handle is @CrowdgateApp. That's Crowdgate APP. And we're just trying to connect with fans and alumni groups and let them know what offerings are out there. It's pretty easy once you get to the app to search. Basically, you just search for the team that you want to tailgate for. So let's say I was trying to search for Penn State tailgates. I could just go to the Penn State page. And on that page, I would basically see all the tailgates available for Penn State games around the country. And I could click on one and learn about who the host is, see some pictures of previous tailgate. As the site grows, actually see reviews and ratings from previous guests, and basically just book and pay right online to join that tailgate. So yeah, as you mentioned, we're new, we're young, so we're still building at the marketplace, and we sort of focus mostly on getting hosts onboard for that matter. So yeah, we hopefully, you know, we're learning a lot as we go through this process of getting our first initial users. So that's where we've been spending our time now.
Paul Gonzalez here with Crowdgate. And before we go, Paul, once again, tell us how we can find the app itself and go to the website and learn more about all the functionality and get ready for a big kickoff this fall. And if you want to get a head start, how can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is www.crowdgate.us. You can go check out what kind of we're working on and where the app is now. If you want to become a host, there's a link right there in the upper right-hand corner of the website that just says become a host. It's pretty easy to fill out your, you know, fill out the form, submit your email, and we'll contact you and get you set up.
In 1873, Golden, Colorado was the home to miners searching for gold. And when the miners sat down for a well-deserved banquet, Mr. Coors brought a beer worthy of the occasion. That beer came to be known as Coors, the banquet beer. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility.
All right, Tailgate Nation, that's going to about wrap it up for this week's show. I want to thank you for listening in and downloading this week's show. I want to remind you, you can hear our show on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, Audio Boom, Stitcher Radio, the TuneIn app for your smartphone, Podomatic, and at our website at tailgateradio.com. You can also check us out on our Twitter account at Tailgate Radio. And as we always say here, keep the drinks cold and the grill hot, and we'll see you in the parking lot. Adios, amigos. Catch you on down the road.
You've been listening to the Tailgate Radio Network. Any rebroadcast without the express written consent of Major League Beer Pong is strictly prohibited.